18 lorries attacked close to Aleppo. It's estimated around 20 civilians were killed. The US have blamed Russia for the attack. Russia say they didn't do it. The attack happened just before the Prime Minister, Theresa May, was due to address the UN General Assembly in New York yesterday. Mrs. May has called for a better distinction between refugees and economic migrants. She's also called on other world leaders to take urgent action to solve the root causes of the migration crisis, something she says is becoming harder to ignore. And indeed, she was talking on Channel 4 News last night, and I have some of her actual commentary and the stance on migration. This is the Prime Minister.
I think that uncontrolled migration is not in the interests of the migrants themselves. It's not in the interests of refugees who may find that they see less support as a result. It's not in the interests of the countries that people are coming from, travelling through or trying to get to. This is one of the great global challenges we face, and it's right that we deal with it as an international community, and the UK will continue to show leadership on this issue.
So the Prime Minister not happy with the number of people who may be trying to come to the United Kingdom. Patrick Corrigan is from Amnesty. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
You feel the Prime Minister is very much moving the goalposts here.
Yes, I mean, she's talked about leadership in response to the refugee crisis. Sadly, our Prime Minister is showing the very opposite of leadership, and her approach, and I'm afraid her speech to the UN General Assembly can probably be summed up in one phrase, which is, not in my backyard, somebody else must take responsibility. The UK offers refuge to a tiny, infinitesimally small number of the world's refugees, and it's the poorest countries, the developing world, which offers that asylum, those safe homes, to most of the world's refugees. 86% of the world's refugees are in poor developing countries. And yet all the best that our government can do is offer 20,000 resettlement places to Syrians over 5 years. Frankly, it's insulting and it's sad that our Prime Minister was one of the world leaders who really dismantled Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General's proposal that a 10% target be set for the number of refugees to be settled annually. 10% of the world's refugee population should be actively resettled. And other governments scuppered that. And so really what we had yesterday in Theresa May's response typified this was a General Assembly that really had a very diluted outcome and really didn't offer any solution or salvation to the very millions of refugees who are fleeing places like Syria, Afghanistan and many, many other places where war and persecution run riot.
But can you not see her point that these refugees are coming across a series of safe countries to get to Britain when they're supposed to actually be processed at the first safe haven?
Well, you know, that's a myth that refugees are supposed to be settled in the first safe country they come to. There's absolutely nothing in international law that is put about by some of our political leaders. And what international law says is very clear, and that it's if you or I find ourselves facing war or persecution, that we have a right, an international legal right, to seek asylum in other countries. Nothing requires that to be done in any particular country. Still less does it require that those asylum claims be made in the country's neighbouring conflict, which already hosts, as I said, by far the greater majority of the world's refugees. And again, it back down to this not in my backyard mentality. I'm afraid our Prime Minister is pushing that message because simply she doesn't want the UK to take any migrants or any refugees, and it's about trying to be the most minimal response possible. She knows that those fleeing the war in Syria, for instance, the very vast majority of them are settled in the neighbouring countries already, in Turkey, in Lebanon, and in Jordan. You know, Lebanon hosts more refugees per capita per square kilometre than any other country in the world. It has 1.2 million Syrian refugees who have come from next door and who have settled in that country. Turkey has the world's largest refugee population. Somalis are in the world's largest refugee camp in Kenya. There are 3 million Afghans in Pakistan, now in Pakistan, who have fled the war there. Again, they've simply crossed one border. So almost all of the world's refugees are in the neighbouring country, the country of first refuge. But that means that countries like our own, and most of Europe and the US and many other countries, It means that we aren't sharing fairly our part of the responsibility. We're not sharing, we're shirking responsibility, and frankly that's not good enough, I don't think, for the world's wealthiest countries.
Yes, but Theresa May is doing what a significant number of the people in Britain want her to do, call for a distinction between refugees and economic migrants, because people will phone this programme for the next 20 minutes after you go off, saying that so many of these people are economic migrants who are trying to take advantage of a refugee situation to get into the United Kingdom.
Well, frankly, I mean, that's bunkum and bogus, if you'll mind me saying so, Frank. First of all, it's absolutely fine to draw the difference between economic migrants and refugees. There is a difference in international law. Refugees, people making asylum claims, their claims are assessed very, very closely indeed. They're scrutinised very carefully, and it's only a percentage of those who make asylum claims who actually are successful. And sadly, that means that some, in our view, very valid asylum seekers are actually returned to unsafe countries. So that's the reality. In terms of economic migration, you know, absolutely fair to have a discussion about that. But, you know, let's not forget, this place here, we are a country or part of the world with a huge history and a huge present day of being economic migrants. Half of my extended family are economic migrants all around the world, in the US and Canada and all over the place, and I'm sure that's probably the case for most of our listeners too. So if it's good enough and appropriate and right for us and our families, do we want to deny that to others? I think not, and I think that's what makes the world go round and makes our place a wee bit more of an interesting place. You were just talking about green and orange and black and white and this sort of zero-sum game we sometimes get into in Northern Ireland. Well, I think one of the encouraging things over recent years in this place has been that we have had an increase in the number of migrants coming in here, and that has made our culture and our communities an awful lot more diverse. And if we're going to turn our backs on the world and turn our backs on economic migrants as well as on refugees, well, I'd like to know who's going to be keeping our hospitals running, because the last time I was in a hospital with my kids, it was those so-called economic migrants who were keeping the NHS functioning. But listen, I think that's a valid discussion to be had, but I think let's keep it clear that we are a country of economic migrants from here around the world, and this place would come to a standstill if it weren't for them coming here to work. The idea that economic migrants or refugees are coming here to claim benefits is frankly risible. The percentage of people from overseas here who are claiming benefits compared to the number of homegrown people, it pales into comparison. Practically everybody who comes here from elsewhere comes here to work hard and to make their lives better, or they come here because they are fleeing war and persecution. And I talked to some of those people up at Stormont on Monday, where we had a demonstration in front of Parliament buildings, and they had come from places like Zimbabwe fleeing persecution by the Mugabe government. They had come from places like Syria fleeing the barrel bombs of their own government, and they had come from places like Eritrea with years and years of war and political persecution. So, you know, let's have A, some compassion, and B, some rational discussion about both the refugee crisis and what's our responsibility in responding to it,
okay,
but also about economic migration.
Okay, just very briefly, Patrick, 20,000 refugees have been taken in. How many would you take?
No, they haven't been taken in. There's been a pledge to take 20,000.
Well, but they've pledged to take 20,000 from the camps over the 5 years. How many would you pledge to take?
And that's out of a refugee flood from Syria of 5 million people, because we have done next to nothing in terms of stemming the conflict there. Instead, we actually propped up the Assad government for years. So let's not forget.
If Amnesty were making the call, how many would they pledge to take?
Well, David Miliband, the head of an international rescue organisation, the other day said that Britain should be taken 4 or 5 times that number. I think that's more the ballpark of where we should be if we actually want to share responsibility rather than shirk responsibility.
Okay, Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty, thank you. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.